I'm Jack, your host, and this is the Right in the Feels podcast. Whether you're a guy trying to figure out your feels in this crazy, crazy world, or you're a woman trying to solve the puzzle of why men think the way they do, well, this show is for you. What is up, my friends? This is Jack, in case we haven't met. Welcome to episode 2 of Right in the Feels. As I sit here, I'm really visualizing a room full of chairs, maybe in a circle or just randomly sprawled, and just people trickling in, you guys. I can hear light chatter here and there in this room. I imagine faces I'm familiar with that give me comfort and reassurance, and then faces and energies that are new, and this excites me to no end. So I had a little intro for episode 1. Well, if you haven't listened to it, it's just an episode that gets into what to expect when you come into this room. But now it's time. We are in the room. Time for the real work, or just the work to begin. All good work, though. I really want to get into the nitty-gritty, because I thought to myself, if I'm going to name this podcast, our podcast, Right in the Feels, it's got to come from a deep place within to resonate and hit ya. Before I get started into the topic for today, I want to mention this. I am Asian, Taiwanese Chinese to be exact. Even though technically I am not an ABC American-born Chinese, because I was born in Taiwan, I got that fob shot on my left shoulder to prove it. I wear it with pride. My parents brought me over to the US at the ripe age of 1, so everything about me embodies Asian American. I grew up in an Asian community, LA, the 626, the San Gabriel Valley, home of boba life and Asian lifestyles specifically. I have immigrant parents, and one thing in the community and what my parents instilled in me was keep things private. Do not trespass. Neighbors, what neighbors? We barely speak to them. Oh my God, there's somebody at the front door. Turn off the lights and pretend we aren't home. You simply do not put family business out on the street like that. There is a shame, stigma, and embarrassment in it that is rooted in not giving other people the ability to gossip and judge your family. But of course, there is gossip about other families. Just don't give them ammo, though. So here I am, about to talk about my family, and it's taking me a long time with a lot of inner work to get to this place. I had to understand greatly on a fundamental level through my values to establish the why, the intent, and the purpose with which I will speak, especially about family, because for many of us, it's the most important thing. We ride or die for family in different ways. I love, to the core of my being, my family, the very small unit it is. As a man, especially, I want to be the protector of them. So I totally get the feeling if you are scared to talk about super personal family issues to even friends, but there is the right place, time, and space in which you can work to feel secure enough to share, and it's very powerful. People will relate, provide comfort, and give you strength that you are not alone. Without further ado, if you notice, the title of the episode is My Dad an Asshole? I am going to talk about dads today. This is a question I grappled with a lot of my life. This won't be easy. I've had a long battle internally and externally with everything that has to do with my dad. Who he is, who I thought he was, who I am, what kind of man he is, and what that means about the man I was to become and am today. It's shaped me differently in different stages of my life, and it still continues to. But bottom line, if you ever had a friggin' difficult dad, a stubborn, prideful dad, an emotionally reclusive or avoidant dad, a dad that you feel will never understand you, a dad you feel like you still can't understand, or maybe a dad that wasn't really around or isn't around, this episode will be for you, because there is a full spectrum of frustrations that a child has with their dad, and they're all valid. Daddy issues are universal. They don't just pertain to women, which is the negative stigma of those two words, daddy issues. My goal today is to break down the different periods of my life where my dad had different impacts on my psyche, the lessons I learned from that, and how I develop my thoughts from those lessons to get to a better mental place and outlook today. As I said in my intro episode, I always felt like one of the lost boys in Peter Pan, Rufio, from the movie Hook. Shout out to Dante Bosco, the Asian American actor that plays an iconic character that I totally related to growing up. Also, the voice of Zuko from the animated series Avatar The Last Airbender. Brilliant show, one I highly recommend. I always wish I had someone like Uncle Iroh as my dad. Super underrated character, full of wisdom for Zuko. But yes, I never felt I had a positive dad influence, which gave me the feeling of being lost. In this story, let's start with super young Jack. Baby Jack to elementary school. My dad was around then. If you have immigrant parents, you know most of the time they are working their ass off. My dad was no exception. My dad and mom came here to the US with nothing. He studied and worked so hard. I deeply respect and appreciate him for that because it's given me opportunities that others don't have. But the flip side is the man was harsh. Many of us Asians joke about spankings or beatings we have to endure, the bamboo stick or whatever your parents can reach out and grab at the time. I can say without a doubt, I got beatings by the definition of Western society can definitely be categorized as abuse. They were intense, a lot of whippings and beltings. As a kid, I didn't know any better though. I equated that with love. In a deep subconscious way, I equated pain and punishment with love. As a child, you're completely powerless. The way you receive, process and communicate love will be inherently built from there, and it's beyond your control. Which is why if you ever watch the movie Good Will Hunting, there is a powerful scene where Robin Williams, rest in peace, plays a psychiatrist, and he is working with a genius in Matt Damon, who is a janitor cleaning up at Harvard, and just happens to solve this impossible math equation of proof on a blackboard in the hallway of Harvard. Anyway, in this scene, Matt Damon's character is in a counseling session with Robin Williams, the psychiatrist. He's finally starting to open up about his childhood and the abuse he suffered. But as he does, he's triggered and gets upset and starts to physically push his therapist away. But in the end, they're in a brace with Robin Williams telling him, "It's not your fault. It's not your fault." That was my childhood with my dad. I was always scared. I never wanted to disappoint him, whether that was with grades or just earning his validation. Emotionally and physically, we were afraid when he would snap. I was in a constant state of thinking, am I good enough? No, I'm not. I deserve to get punished this harshly, even though I really didn't understand why whatever I did was that bad or not. Yes, I was young, but there was no reasoning or true explanations just to anything, just law and order, rules and regulations, with an iron fist, expectations placed that should be achieved. I am your dad, the man. I am the head of the household. I rule. Don't question me. He had a lot of notions and values as the head of the household. Gender roles he placed on me, my mom, and my sister. To be quite straightforward, he has a lot of sexist ideals, which runs deeply because he comes from a generation before in Asia where those sexist ideals and gender roles were perpetuated, taught, and embedded into society strongly. Hell, in society today it's prevalent, but especially so in the Asian society of the older generation. So already there is a lot forming between the West and East philosophy, me being raised in America, but having parents with a more traditional Eastern type values. Let's move to the next period. My dad left to work overseas before I went to middle school, and he hasn't been home really since to live. I think he came back to visit once a year or very sporadically, enough times I can count on one of my hands. My mom essentially raised my sister and I as a single mother. She did everything as a complete tiger mom in all her tiger mom glory, which we can definitely discuss in a separate episode, mommy issues. But I love her to death. At the time of being that awkward developing teenage boy, I didn't have any guidance from my dad. The times he would come home, there was a lot of fighting, kicking me out of the household for not obeying or living up to these stringent expectations. Holding over my head, he's the master of the house, using money as a way of control. I think for a kid who has to live up to extremely strict circumstances, high pressure expectations, usually there's one of two forks. They either become submissive and work diligently to earn that validation, doing quote unquote the right thing, sometimes seemingly become like a robot to the will and decisions of their parents, or they completely rebel and become that wild child. I can say for sure, I became the rebel in my family. My sister was the rule follower, probably because she saw all the chaos of my life. I also have a distinct memory when I was in high school. One time my dad was back in one of the most memorable father-teenage-son moments we had, which were very few, was on a car ride. He said he wanted to talk to me, and I thought, oh yeah? And all he said to me was, don't get a girl pregnant. Whew, it was the most random, unexpected, bewildering moments. There was absolutely no context at the time. I didn't even have a girlfriend. I was so frozen from shock, I couldn't even come up with a response. So folks, that was my birds and the bees sex talk. Hey, if you have conservative parents, Asian or not, you guys know what I'm talking about. But if that is a microcosm of my relationship as a child and teenager to my dad, that might be the funniest way to explain it. Confusion and bewilderment, blunt communication that makes no sense. I'll tell you what though, it was tough. As an Asian American watching these movies, the all-American family where the son and dad go out to throw the baseball around, he treats his son like his best friend. They have all these father-son moments of understanding, working through problems with actual vulnerable conversations. So foreign for me. All I thought of what a man is supposed to be is you sacrifice. Taking care of the family is a duty, but more of a burden, if anything. You make money. You use anger to command demand and respect. Sure, sometimes you're happy and you do some dad things, but most of the time you're working. But one thing that always stuck out to me deeply was my dad pulled me aside once and told me, I'm not going to be around. So as a man, you need to protect the family. I think I was in fourth grade before he left overseas and he told me that. That was heavy and something that has stuck with me in a strange, ironic way pertaining to him. As we turn the page in this story, like in any story or narrative, there needs to be a climax. So despite not having a connection with my dad and needing to sort through some awkward moments, a lot of moments of fighting, getting kicked out, despite the misogyny, pride, ego, and the constant demand for respect, some patriarchal establishment type stuff, the abuse also known as tough love, I truly believed he did all of this because he loved us and was protecting the family. At the end of high school, I found out through my mom that my dad had an affair. It was the beginning of something that completely broke me, and my life spiraled out of control in ways I never imagined or intended. As I said, there was a strong belief in me that my dad always had a reason or purpose for the way he was, that I deserved whatever treatment or punishment came my way, and that there was a grand reason to justify it. It's because my dad loves me. It's his way of protecting the family unit. My mind snapped. Instead of seeing the abuse as love, I started seeing it for the pain that it caused me. I made my dad into a complete villain in my life movie. The next time I saw him, I decided I need to become my own man. The fury of my childhood built up in me, and I decided to confront him. I was so afraid and scared. I felt like I was David in David vs. Goliath. It was an explosive argument that ended with a face-to-face standoff and him pushing me and telling me I'm disowned. The man never apologized or showed remorse with how his actions affected the family. He even doubled down and said he should be able to have his cake and eat it too, have another woman still, and see all the pain that he caused. Also, I will never be within my rights to talk to him about any of these issues. Know your place, son. So I packed up all my stuff soon after. I ran away from home to go to college up in NorCal. I didn't say goodbye to my sister or mom. This started the Cold War. I broke off communication with my dad for over 6 years. There were so many dark moments. I distinctly remember all the suicidal thoughts swimming in my head. One especially where I drove to a busy intersection and I wanted to close my eyes and just press my foot onto the gas pedal and drive the car into traffic and whatever happens will happen. I battled insomnia for a long time, fears and uncertainty clouding my thoughts in an endless cycle. I slept in my car many nights because I didn't have any money and couch surfed and eventually stayed with my college girlfriend at the time. I developed a gambling addiction because I wanted to make some quick money and it provided a toxic adrenaline rush. I got into fights where I legitimately thought if I died in this fight, it is what it is. One of the things that drove the guilt in me the most was I pushed my mom and my sister away. When I ran away, I just wanted to push the pain away. They were part of it. I would look at my phone with missed calls every day, my voicemail inbox completely full with messages of them mad at me at first, but then begging to come home or just answer a text to tell them I'm okay. Wow, this is really hard to talk about. So here I am in my mid-20s. I'm in pain with anger and betrayal, filling my heart and mind. On the outside with people I know, I'm putting on the best show, giving people the Jack they've come to know, the nice guy. But inside, I'm paralyzed in fear, my dad being the source. Who is this man that is my father? Why has he hurt me? I am my father's son. Is my path doomed to become him? I start to look around at my life, at the devastation I feel I am responsible for, and there's a flicker of light that starts to burn in me. That light is consciousness, self-awareness. I didn't want guilt and shame to completely control my choices and actions, as they have. So I tried to make conscious decisions to make up with my sister and my mom first. It's slight, but I see what I'm doing and the behaviors mirror what my dad would do. And all I know right now, at the time, is I hate my dad. I need to become the opposite of him. So I set out on a mission in my mid-20s to when I was 30 to do that. Mission impossible. I saw what my dad was, egotistical and full of pride. I tried to become the opposite of that. My dad could never be vulnerable and express these emotions. I tried to be opposite of that. And my Lord, was it hard. My dad had these sexist views that women should have these set roles and men should be a certain way. And I wanted to think the opposite of that. My self-esteem was completely low, so I worked on myself after getting on a long-term relationship with my first girlfriend, in which that relationship just was not healthy. I kicked the gambling habit. I read The Alchemist. I looked up different philosophies, one being Taoism, and tried to adopt the Bruce Lee way of thinking, be water. What I was really looking for was inner peace from all the chaos, seeing firsthand the impact it had on myself and my family, but under the disguise of mission, be opposite of my dad. We are coming close to the end of the story in this episode. I'm in my 30s now. My dad and I talk. We aren't close, but the Cold War ended a little before I turned 30. I found forgiveness in my heart. It has swayed like a leaf in the wind throughout the years. The meaningful conversations with my dad aren't happening. There's a wall there. I've tried. I feel like I'm at the start of that journey still, but really I've been on it for some time, about coming to a healthy mindset of my own being or my own self. I'm in a very healthy relationship with my fiance in which I'm able to communicate all my daddy issues and not have them as a projection or reaction instead, as they have been in my past relationships. Mission become opposite of dad, based in fear and hurt, shifted to mission of self-acceptance and trust in these lessons I have learned through strife, self-awareness, self-love, healing, and open-mindedness. They weren't opposite of dad. They were just things in me that I chose to seek instead of growing bitter and angry. I see how being jaded by anger and the depths of it could drive me and impact me and the effect of it on my mental health. Choice is the key word. You choose. I choose. Belief and faith, not just blind, but based on real ideas and actions and hope. So with each stage, this is what I want to impart. One, as a child, it's not your fault. There are things we can take accountability for as adults. But as children, if your dad was abusive to you, it's not your fault. If you're a difficult child or not, you don't deserve a beating. You deserve the chance to understand what you did wrong with patience from your parents' side, because they are the adults. They are tasked with being able to restrain themselves and explain through words all the complexities of the values and expectations they hope to instill in you, instead of using physical force. Your parents' baggage aren't yours, even though they feel inevitably to become yours. The path to healing your inner child can be done. It is so worthwhile. I believe in you. Two, as a teenager or young adult, you might fight so hard with your dad. He's got his way of thinking. It might be because of a generational gap, a cultural gap. You don't want to choose the career path he insists on. He thinks all the choices you are making are the ones he would not make and that are wrong. That gap exists. It's real. There are some things an older generation won't see that you do. Whether that be the opportunity with how industries are developing, technology improving, society values shifting to be more woke, there are some things the older generation have wisdom for that are right, that currently we can't see because we don't have that experience yet. As we grow, the very battle in that communication is the ultimate lesson. What you are learning about yourself, how do you adjust your mind to handle somebody like dad who is difficult to communicate with? How you devise strategies to relate and find common ground? Maybe there isn't any common ground. How do you draw boundaries then? How do you stand on your own feet and become your own adult? How do you love despite? It's the choice you make for yourself. It's what will empower you to maybe one day or right now become better fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, mentors, and just people. Thirdly, as an adult, as a man, I realize more than ever that much of my inability to be able to communicate my emotions and feelings stems from my dad. He never created a safe place for me or gave me the tools, as he himself did not have the abilities nor the tools. I had to fashion them myself, and I am proof that it's possible to achieve a breakthrough, painstakingly in many ways, but it takes self-realization, seeking knowledge, reading and absorbing new ideas and philosophies, taking in fresh perspectives, establishing strong values through humility, honesty, and authenticity, asking for help, seeking the resources outside of yourself through finding the right support system, community, friends, and therapy. I can attest that therapy helped me tremendously. Breaking a cycle will be difficult, but where there is a will of the mind, there is a way. I would love to dive into these things more in depth in future episodes. So I want to come to a close by leaving a message to my own dad. Maybe I am not the man you envisioned that would be. In my mind, I always thought you wanted a son that was glorious, that you could brag about my accomplishments because I'm a reflection of you. There's a child in me that still wants to give you that. One thing, though, I remember, Dad, is that you told me in a pained way your father was not there for you, that you wanted to change that. I see how hard the cycle is to break, like all deep-rooted family trauma cycles. Many cards were stacked against you. I see that more clearly than ever. I feel your struggle in that because I see how our relationship distanced through time away from each other, the emotional disconnect, the trials and tribulations of this father-son dynamic. But I know you always said, I want to make the next generation to be better. Maybe you meant financially, but the man I am today, I can break through those cycles, not just for us, but for our family, and hopefully help others to do the same. I didn't learn to be the opposite of you. I learned your pain, our pain, can lead to growth beyond my wildest dreams. What we went through has led me here. I choose to love you by establishing my own boundaries with the inner strength, perseverance, and understanding that has grown like a strong oak tree in me. So much so, now I can push my boundaries and understand you are on your own journey. Your realization and growth don't need to happen on my timeline. You told me to protect our family, and I am. I will, because I know I have the ability to now. This is how I can make you proud. I love you, Dad. Thank you all for walking into this room today and listening to me. It means the world to me. If you are struggling with family and anxiety, the stress and the feelings are overwhelming, I want to walk and talk with you. If you know somebody who needs the words I shared in this episode, please send this along. You are not alone. Don't hesitate to email me or message me. This has been episode 2 of Right in the Feels. I hope this finds you well. With much love, I can't wait to be in this room with you again next week.